Blog Talk Radio.
Get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 7521. This your daily. Go get it, Mission Show. We do this every single day. It rains. And the DG will do the same. I'm your host, Sun 752, aka Omar with the. And if you can't say Omar with the. Well, then you just say Omar with the Arts and Daily. Go get a business show all up in your area. What's good, y'all? How you feeling now? All right. So it's Power Monday all up in your area. The 5th of October. The 5th of Libra. Premiering live and direct. And I hope y'all feeling like real men and real women should. I know I am. And I know that I hope you are. We are all superstars in our own right. So tonight on a Daily Go Get a Business Show. First of all, I'm sorry that I'm late, but it was actually unpreventable. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm late for a good cause. I'm feeling good about being late today. You know why? Because today I had a chance to talk to somebody today, and I had a chance to talk to them about the real shit. You know, like, it ain't every day that a black man comes across another black man where we are able to do this kind of shit, especially with me, because I'm kind of weird. You know what I'm saying? I'm pro-black with a twist. I'm pro-black with that hood twist. At least I think I am. You know what I mean? You know, real niggas from the hood don't look at me like that at all. Like, you ain't real. You know how we judge each other. You know, you got to be real. In order to be real, you got to be violent or a criminal out here. You can't just defend yourself against that or prevent yourself from being in that. But anyway, you know, I had a conversation with a young brother, a very young, bright, positive black man today. And I was like, yo, that shit had me feeling good. It just so happened that I was at my mama's house when it happened. And I was over there to take her trash out and, you know, and we got to rapping and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, yo, it's getting time for the show to start. I'm like, I got to run. So, but I felt good. I felt real good after that conversation, because so often in our lives, we encounter people that we are not on the same wavelength with, the same mental plane. You know, we don't all feel the same. We don't all feel the same emotionally. And so when you connect with somebody and you're like, damn, so I'm not the only weirdo who be thinking about this shit. I'm not the only one who has unpacked some of this shit in my own way and feels this kind of way about it. And it's not easy to do that from a black perspective without feeling like you need to alienate or shut your other black brothers and sisters out. See, some people get on that pro-black shit, but they want to get on that pro-black shit with the intentions of leaving everybody out or leaving everybody behind or leaving somebody or putting somebody down. And that's what I got out of the conversation with the brother. It was like, I've seen him and talked to him briefly in passing, never really had a conversation with him. So I don't know what he was thinking about me. And honestly, I didn't know what to think about him. But when we got to talking, it was like, well, I'll be damned. And I know he was thinking the same thing, like, ain't this some shit? I've been living around here for 4 years. 5 years, 6 years, some shit. And like, we have, you know, but when it's time, it's time. But I got to thinking, like, yo, with the way this brother thinks and the way him and his wife think and the way they are, there would be plenty of black folks that would look at them like they bougie and they've had opportunities that we haven't had and all of that kind of shit. And I'm like, first of all, ain't nothing wrong with opportunities. That's number one. We gotta stop looking down on each other just because some of us have had it better than others, whether it's financial or whether it's familial, whether it's cultural, whatever. We should be more congratulatory of each other when we see that some of us have been able to avert the struggle that so many of us have had mushed in our faces. That's how we should be. But instead, what happens? Somebody that doesn't have what we had growing up or what we have now will come to us and make us feel like us having more is actually a bad thing because we can't relate to the struggle. Well, it's time that we tear that bullshit down. And it's coming down today. Yeah, it's coming down today. So I thought I was going to talk about something else tonight, but I said, whoa, wait a minute. I think what we need to talk about tonight is looking down on somebody from beneath them. Too often, we look down on people when we are under them instead of towering over them and being able to build with them and basically, you know, build bridges, form bonds, and I mean, build, like get something popping, something positive. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Why do we look down? Why do we as a people look down on our educated or affluent brothers and sisters? I get it. I get one part of it. Sometimes our educated brothers and sisters, sometimes our affluent brothers and sisters are sometimes on that bougie shit and they don't want to have nothing to do with us. I get it. But what about when they aren't that way? What about when they just don't know some of the things that we know and we don't have the same perspective as they have and they are hanging around us to learn and to teach us a little something that we didn't know, but we want to reject the teachings, but we want to do all of the teaching ourselves. We want to reject the learning, but we want to do all of the teaching. For some people, it makes them feel like they on a high horse when they are able to stick it to the man. And the man is somebody who look like me and you. That ain't the man, not that man that you supposed to be sticking it to. That's the one you supposed to be kicking it with. You sticking it to him when you supposed to be kicking it with him. All right, y'all, let me shout out my peoples. I see that we have some people up in here that I ain't seen in a while, and it's really good to see. Emily, a done lap in the house. I said it, Emily, how you feeling, my? Good to see. Carolyn Chamberlain is in the house, and good to see you, my favorita, my favorita. And Robin, make my big sis, good to see you doing your thing right now. And Taki, T. Carrie Wright is all up in the house, all shining bright. And do I see Saboy, build and destroy? Saboy, build and destroy. What's going on, Saboy? How you feeling, Saboy? It's good to see you, Saboy. I ain't seen you in a sump of Mondays. Forget a month of Sunday. I ain't seen you in a sump of Mondays. Good to see you. You know what I'm saying? Charlene Curry. What's going on, Charlene? How y'all feeling, Charlene? Good to see y'all. I, the beauty, I cannot see Cherry. A Cinderella, Dana Dane. Well, it's the woman, Dana Dane, with fame. How y'all doing, man? So tonight on the Daily Go Get a Mission Show, we're talking about looking down on them from beneath them. When you think about it physically, hold up, you mean to tell me that you down here and they up there and you looking down on them? So you really have to look up at them, but we've taken the liberty of looking down on them like they down there like a snail, like a worm, like a harmless snake. Now, I shouldn't say snake because too many people are afraid of snakes. So I'm going to say like a bug. No, too many people scared of bugs. An ant. I don't know too many people that are afraid of ants. But yeah. So we've seen it. We've all seen it. You know, certain black people that may have been raised in the suburbs. They didn't grow up in the city. They don't have the same experiences that we had. They have some of the same experiences that we've had as far as institutionalized racism and all of that, but they haven't had those hood experiences. Maybe they haven't seen somebody get murdered right in front of their eyes. Maybe they haven't seen domestic violence. Maybe, you know, they haven't seen their mom and their dad getting it on, pugging in the living room. They may not have seen, you know, black people hating on each other to the degree that we may see. They may not have experienced jealousy, just raw, unadulterated, unexpurgated jealousy over everything. Jealousy because of the way you look. Jealousy because of the way you walk. Jealousy because of the way you talk. Jealousy because of the way you dress. Jealousy because of the car you drive. Jealousy because of the house you grew up in. Jealousy because you got a mother in your house. A mother that cared about you, that worked, bust her ass. A father, an active one, in your family, in the household. Just hating. Hating because they haven't had to go through what you've gone through. And a lot of times we discount the experiences of someone just because they haven't experienced all of the bad things that we've experienced. And when you think about it, what kind of shit is that? I mean, when you really think about it. Now, if we're talking about somebody that's on that bougie shit like, I don't eat chitlings. I don't eat chitterlings because they are disgusting. Like, I ain't mad at you because you don't eat no chitlings. Man, I don't eat that shit even. The shit is disgusting. But fuck it. There are plenty of black people who do it. And, you know, we talk a lot about this whole black card thing, the black card. You're going to lose your black card. You're going to lose your black card if you don't eat fried chicken 3 times a week. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? Your mama might have went to the culinary school or something like that. She know how to make real dick. I mean, you know, she know how to make shit that ain't served on a lot of black plates in the home. But we do. We sometimes look down on those on those people, even if they're not trying to disconnect from us. They are actually trying to connect from to us, and we looking at them like, case in point, have y'all ever known somebody who has never been in a fight, has never been in a fist fight? I've met people who have never been in a fist fight. And it's an interesting thing when you talk to somebody who has never been in a fist fight. Because I've known people who have never been in a fist fight who honestly think that they can fight. Here's something that you learn real quick when you get into a fist fight for the first time. First of all, you got to try. It's a very physically exhausting experience. Either that or it can be over very quick by your opponent. So if you've never been in a fight with more than one person, and let's say you never even fought your brother or your sister, you get into a fight with somebody, you don't realize how long a round of boxing is. But in a street fist fight, there is no boxing. It's just swinging and kicking and throwing and wrestling and sometimes slamming and pushing and shoving. And yeah, it's a very physical experience. So if you've never fought anybody, that means that you've never tried to hit a moving target. You swinging all wild and looking all crazy and shit. And people like, yo, he's going to get his ass whooped. And you are. Because somebody who's been in that fight before, they know to move, they know to duck. Even if they don't know to move and duck, they know to push forward. I'ma just come in. I'm a George Foreman that ass. I'm just coming through. I'm mowing through. You ain't ready for that. You never experienced that before. You've only seen people fight. You ain't never done it. Your muscles are not built. The next day, even if you didn't get your ass whooped, the next day you gonna shoulders, arms gonna be your back gonna feel all crazy. You haven't thrown punches before. You haven't exercised those muscles. Now you have. So I brought that up to say this. And by the way, shout out to Jeffrey Hawkins. Shout out to Jeffrey Hawkins, man. Thanks for coming through. I appreciate me some you, my brother. But yeah, I brought that up because when someone who has never been through experience you have been through, you're not going to really understand the culture, the philosophy, and the emotions that go into what the activity is that you have participated in. That's not to say that they can't analyze it, because you can be a spectator or you could be a commentator on a sport that you have never played yourself, but you're watching and you know the rules and you understand how it's supposed to be played. So you can call out the action and you can make predictions on certain teams just by observing. But if you've never dribbled a basketball, you don't know how much hand and eye coordination it takes to dribble a basketball and run at the same time. It takes a certain amount of skill. Forget about even trying to shoot, you know, getting that muscle memory together to be able to shoot the ball. Same thing as football. You know, you watch football on TV and you see a running play and the running play gets stopped at the line of scrimmage. You're like, why didn't you go around the other way? All of the defenders were in the way where you ran. And you don't realize, like, the play was drawn up to run to this side and to dissuade the defense from running to that side. So they were supposed to go to that side while I ran to that side and opened up the hole with my two tackles. But it didn't go that way. And plus, you're on the field. You're not above or on a TV screen seeing both sides of the ball. When you're actually on the field, Your field of vision is much different. So the experience is different. So that culture that you have from being on that team, competing against other teams and understanding the game and learning to develop into becoming one of the elite players to be able to play that sport professionally. It's way different than somebody who may have even done it, but not on that professional level. They haven't taken those steps. So there's a disconnect. There's a limitation of understanding between the two philosophies of the watcher and the player. They should be able to respect each other, but that doesn't always happen. How many times have we heard a sports celebrity be like, "Yeah, but you can't do it." You know, in their immaturity, they may be young and immature and don't know how to deal with the media and stuff like that, and having to deal with adversity. They may have played on teams where they won all the time, and now they're in the pros. So they get booed and they get critiqued and they get teased and they get criticized and they're not used to it. And like, "Yeah, but y'all couldn't do it." I remember when LeBron lost one of his championships. LeBron, not the 2020 LeBron, you know, the conscious, you know, give back to the black community. You know what I mean? Not that LeBron, the young LeBron. The young LeBron, when that first year with him and when he went to Miami and they lost the championship that year. And remember, he was talking shit. He was frustrated. He was angry because it was like, "Yeah, you ain't never going to win no championship, even with this team." He was mad. I can't blame him for being mad about that. But he came out of space and it was basically like, "Yeah, but when I go home from this championship, I'm going home to a big-ass house, expensive cars, and hella expensive furnishings and stuff like that." He defended himself verbally on some arrogant shit. You know? He didn't want to hear that shit. But there was, of course, the fans are going to talk shit. That's what they do. They're not going to get on the court, and it's not like they don't have the right to do that. You know, they pay their money, they buy paraphernalia, they go to the games, they cheer, they are vested in the team just as much as a player or an owner is. Especially emotionally. So when we talk about looking down on somebody from beneath them, well, why do we do each other like that? Why do we do it in retaliation? Do we look at all affluent people or all educated people, if that's the case, do we look at them as thinking that they're better than us? Because we throw around that term a lot. Such and such think they better than everybody, or they think they better than me. 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 Surely, sure, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. Surely, sure, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. What's going on? And my brother Ansel Jones is all up in the house. What's going on, my brother Ansel Jones? Carol Chamberlain says, "Can't teach what you don't know." I'm just saying. You sure can't. You sure cannot teach what you don't know. And I don't have a problem with not teaching what you don't know. What I have a problem with is not trying to learn what you don't know. And that's what we do sometimes. Sometimes when someone has something that they can contribute to our existence, sometimes instead of being more invitational in that realm, we'll be like, "Nah, fuck that. I don't want to be like him or her anyway." And it's not about being like him or her, but what's wrong with being as smart as him or her? What's wrong with having as many resources as him or her? What's wrong with being as, I don't know, maybe as I don't want to say popularity, because that's a smokescreen, you know. Sometimes the most popular things are not the good things, i.e. Donald Trump. Feel me? But nonetheless, there are times when we have been victims of this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? You get a new jacket or something like that, and somebody's like, "Oh, you ain't the shit just because you got a new jacket." Like, "I never said I was. But I bet you what? I bet you I'm going to rock this jacket. I work for my money. I'm going to rock this jacket and this coat, and I don't give a fuck what you say. I'm the GOAT. round the way. Everybody will say Omar Sun 752. Hey, oh, hey, ho. You can hate all day as long as I get some love. I'm going to make this shit fit just like a glove. And that love that you have dismissed upon me is going to be all right, because I still got an army, and an army of one is all I really need. I'm going to make sure that I can hit men till you bleed. I'm not talking about the physicality, but I'll make sure that I change your mentality. See what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm... Yeah. All right. Robbie Mink says, I agree with you, Omar, about looking down on people. I mean, looking down on them from beneath them, though, Robbie Rob. I mean, when you listen, everything has a start and an ending, and the middle is the biggest part. So, you know, what you learn in the middle is what you build towards to make that ending a soft ending or a hard ending. You know what I mean? So that's what life is all about. We are born and we die one day. But between that birth and that death is a life. Now, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? And this has nothing to do with financial success or whatever. But, you know, fulfillment is fulfillment. Whether you're talking about financial, whether you're talking about psychological, emotional, whether you're talking about familial, whether you're talking about spiritual, a fulfillment for self-fulfillment is what it is. And it's going to be different for different people. But what are you doing for yourself? Are you rejecting new things, better things, more progressive things because you believe that you should stay in the area where you are? I mean, look at this, y'all. Listen, man. You know, in Philadelphia, Chicago, New York, all of the major cities in the United States are pretty much experiencing a great wave of gentrification. Black people are being moved out of their neighborhoods so white people can move in. But here's the thing. A lot of the neighborhoods that we're being forced out of was fucked up neighborhoods. And I don't mean fucked up because of the people who live there, but the people who live there also contributed to messing up the neighborhood. And when I say a neighborhood is messed up, I'm talking about a neighborhood where you don't feel safe, where your children can't play, when even the recreational activities that they would be able to participate in are halted and stumped because of fear of violence, fear of retaliation, fear of exposure to over-sexualized things, drugs, and just a whole lot of chaos, mayhem, and things that things that you don't want your children being exposed to, especially at a young age when they are impressionable. But it's almost like we're trying to hold on to that. More, as long as we keep murdering each other, robbing each other, and beating up each other, or keep that threat of violence, then there won't be no gentrification. So, when one of us buys up a bunch of properties in the hood and fails at being able to rent them, what the hell? Why is this a... When one of them fails at being able to rent the properties effectively to our people, because some of our people don't pay, and maybe they haven't been properly vetted, because maybe some of our black landlords really tried to give back in the form of giving opportunities to people whose credit was a little bit questionable, and then they got bitten in the ass about it. But nonetheless, they did make an attempt at giving back, and they are giving back even if they're doing it involuntarily. So they say, all right, well, I rented to some black people. I tried to do that exclusively, but I'm about to be broke and starving. So I better diversify the people that I'm renting to. So now you'll just rent to anybody, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever. Like, I got to get this money. Now we looking at them like, oh, you coming in our hood, you ain't selling the homes, you just renting the homes, and now you bringing in these others. It's like, damn, man, I can't win. So that's like looking down on somebody from beneath. Like, you're not contributing anything. You don't even want to contribute. You don't even want to pay your bills. But you want to look down on somebody who's actually being progressive and trying to build something, even if they're just trying to build an empire for their own family. If they are black and they're doing it for their family may be expansive, and that means that they are contributing to the progression and the advancement of our race, our people, our struggle. But you don't look at it like that. Them houses ain't none of that anyway. He ain't nothing but a slumlord. And he charged you too much money. But when your ass was down and out, when this was your last stop until Section 8 or the shelter before the Section 8 voucher, it wasn't like that then, was it? It was like, oh, thank you. You're a godsend. Who says black people don't help each other? Looking down on them from beneath them, baby. Looking down on them from beneath them. We got to do better than that. Robbie Mink says, I grew up being in fist fights. Yeah. When you've been in a fight, you get it. If you ain't never been in no fight, I've had people who never been in a fight to tell me about rumbling. I'm like, listen, man, let's talk about something else. You like video games? You know, you want to play Fight Night or something? Let's talk about something you can do. You don't want to talk about... You don't understand. You know what I mean? You ain't never been punched in the mouth. You don't understand. You never had your bell rung. You don't understand. You just don't get it. A punch in the mouth can change your whole outlook on life. Even if you win the fight afterwards, you got punched in the mouth. You're going to try to prevent that from happening again because it was probably over something you said. Like, maybe I can rephrase that next time. They split your lip, you know what I mean? You don't realize you get punched in the mouth and that fist made of bone crushes up against that lip, which is just flesh, hitting those teeth. And then you've been in a fight and you get your tooth knocked out or this shit be loose. And a few days later, whatever, you got to pull that shit out like, this motherfucker knocked out my tooth. Fuck. Get hit in that nose. And that shit burned your whole fucking nasal passage. It could have knocked you out. You lucky. You lucky he ain't catch you good. He caught you right here. But when you've actually done something, you realize what goes into it. The muscles that it takes to actually do it. You can talk about it on another level. Make sure y'all hit that like button, man. Make sure y'all hit the like button. Hit the like button. Share the show. And make sure that you subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Daily Go Get-A-Mism Show on this Power Monday. I'm your host, Sun752, a.k.a. Omar, with the rrr. And we are talking about looking down on them from beneath them. Do you underdig? Do you overstand? Do you feel me? Do you know what I'm talking about? Is it real, G? And y'all can call into the show. If y'all would like to call in and give your 2 cents, if you would like to express yourself without equivocation, without judgment, because there is no censorship here, I invite you to call in. And the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said a 319-527-6199. Yes, 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 y'all. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. 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 319-527-6199, baby. Carol Chamberlain says, in my Oprah voice, I had to fight all my life. Yeah, you tell him. You tell him, Sophia. All my life I had to fight. By the way, 319-527-6199. Express your passion in any form of fashion. Express your passion in any form of fashion. Seriously, if you've never fought in your life, man, you don't understand that shit. That's not a conversation you need to. If you're a non-fighter, don't have fighting conversations with fighters. It's not a conversation you want to have. You know. But you might be looking down on them from beneath them. Jeff Hawkins says, knowledge often comes with maturity. It should. And wisdom comes with knowledge and maturity. It should. Hopefully, with knowledge comes maturity, because they are two distinctly different things. You know what I mean? You can be mature without knowledge. You could definitely be knowledgeable without maturity. We see it all the time. You know what? I was about to give some examples. I ain't going to do it. We ain't going to do it. Matter of fact, I'm going to just wink. Whoever y'all think I'm winking about, let it be them. Let it be them. Let them be the one we give our love to. Beauty Akinashi Cherry says, but knowledge can also come from an experience. Yes, it can. But wisdom comes from your experiences too. Wisdom. Wisdom definitely comes from your experiences. You know what I mean? Because you can get knowledge out of a book. You can read about all subjects. You're going to know a whole lot. But you won't get that wisdom. You won't get that wisdom until you actually get out there in the field. Start humping. Like, I can read about plumbing, and I can tell you how to do all of the fittings. I can tell you how to you know, solder the pipe. You know, I can give you all of the instructions better than a manual. But when you actually have to get up under that sink, when you gotta cut off them toilet bolts and lift that toilet, or when there's water in the pipe. And the pipe won't get hot enough to be able to sweat it, aka solder it. And you're like, why the fuck is, like, I got the solder, I got the flux, it's clean, why won't it fucking burn? Why won't it bond? There's water in the pipe, homie. It won't get hot enough. Oh. And like I said, when you get under that sink, just something as simple as changing that J-bin, the trap under the sink. It's like he realized, like, you know, this is taking longer than I thought. Whoever did this shit first didn't line it up right. They jerry-rigged it. Yeah, it's different when you actually are in the field. But you definitely have that knowledge. You can, like, oh, yeah, what you have to do first is you have to do this and this, step by step. Yeah, that all sounds good. Get your ass, yo, go take off your good sneakers, put on the bad sneakers and help me up under here. You lift up this sink while I, you know, get this, use this wrench to try to loosen this bitch. Somebody use plumber's putty on the damn, anyway, so. Robbie Robinson says, but now I don't fist fight. I defuse the situation. Too old for that. You ain't never too old to fight. But you're right. You have probably turned in your fist and started using your mind. Now think about if you would have done that when you were younger. It probably would have worked out differently because you had to establish yourself on the physical side, because the maturity of your opponents was such that they didn't care about your mental side. Like, if you can't beat me, I'm going to keep picking on you. I'm going to keep picking you on you because I can beat you. They may not have even fought you yet. They got you mentally. Looking down on you from beneath you. Jeff Hawkins says, when you're comfortable in your skin, in the skin you're in, you can care less of those who try and judge you. Sometimes it works that way. But check this out, though. Check this out. Now, Monsieur Hawkins, you know that the conditioning of our people is such that our most affluent, some of our richest, some of our best and brightest black people are looked down on by some of our poorest, most uneducated white people. That's all conditioning. And it's backed up by the way the system is set up. The way the system is set up, they are conditioned to believe that they are better than you, no matter what you have or what you have going on. And you have been conditioned to believe that no matter how much you have it going on, you're not as good as him. Now, I'm not saying that it's consistent across the board with all, and I wasn't really talking about you personally, but we all have examples of where we could see this. I mean, look at Michael Jackson. Look at Kanye West. Michael Jackson was a superstar and a fucking business genius. He was a shrewd businessman. He was a fucking business genius. Michael Jackson was straight up smart. He didn't go to college. Barely had a regular formal education. He was a child star. But he was fucking smart. And to be able to make it in show business and be that shrewd takes a special kind of person. And he was absolutely that. But there's no doubt that he sought the approval of, no doubt that he sought out that approval. You get a man by the mind, you got him by the balls. And you ain't got to be there. He'll make your money for you. You get a man by the mind, you got him by the balls. If you don't understand that concept, you'll just try to get him by the balls. So, you know, in a perfect world, or one that at least made some sense, those of us who have progressed from one area of lower concentration to an area of higher concentration, our confidence would have us like, I'm the best. I'm the best out of all y'all. But it doesn't always work out that way. Y'all might not like this next example, but you think about some of the women who have been with abusive boyfriends in domestic violence situations. A lot of times the boyfriends or the husbands that were beating them up didn't have shit going on for them. A lot of times some of these women would get their ass whipped because they were trying to be progressive, because they were trying to hold the family down, because they were trying to take care of business. They was jealous. So he figured that mentally he couldn't, education-wise, whatever, he couldn't control her. So he said, fuck it, I'm going to have to gorilla this bitch. It's the only way. I'm a black man. Not at all. Y'all know I support me some black men. I've been accused many a times of making excuses for the black man, but I understand the black man because I am him and he is me. But I also know that some of us, and I'm not making this exclusive to black people, because it probably happens in all cultures, but I don't come from all cultures, nor do I care about all of them. I do care about this one though. So in situations where our woman may go to school, she's learning new things. She's kind of outrunning us. Now she's learning new things, talking a little different, acting a little different, bringing different people around, meeting different people. This was just from taking online classes. Now she got a new job because one of the incentives of going to school was that she would get a promotion. Now she's making more money and she has a She has a higher salary, higher status. She's hobnobbing with the big wig, so to speak. She leaving me behind. You may still be making more money than her, possibly. But you're not growing and expanding yourself. You could, but you're not. But you're still making decent money. But she's making more money on her way to making more money, but she's different. So, you know, it can get to the point where you start putting your hands on your woman. If you weren't doing it already, because that's not normally something that happens over time. You know, dudes from a Slap-A-Hoe tribe normally get that popping at a younger age. Robbie Mink says, Jeffrey said, at Jeffrey, I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what they do. This is my Smokey Robinson voice. That's what's up. Robbie Mink says, that's just jealousy when you look or talk about people who trying to succeed in life. Wow. But it happens every day. It's somewhere happening now. Okay, wait. Okay. Jeff says, systematically, our people are being brought out, or being bought out and moved out. There's a reason behind the madness of the strategy of theirs. Yeah, but you know what we have to do to combat that? Jeff? Ownership. The way you stop gentrification is by ownership. Black ownership puts a screeching halt to gentrification. You can't gentrify if people don't sell out. But if nobody owns anything and everybody is renting, guess what? You do whatever you want to do. Why do you think that you see those signs in the hood? We buy houses. 30-day settlement. Because they going to buy them homes, fix them up, flip them. Raise the property value and taxes and all of that, get all the money. Meanwhile, you sell your crib for $70,000, $100,000, and you're like, yo, I'm paid. Go out and buy a car, spend a bunch of money in Vegas, pay off an apartment for a year if you're smart. Even though that's dumb, but that might be a smart way to do it. You know, the year going to go fast as shit, right? But anyway, you stop gentrification by black ownership. They target neighborhoods where black people don't own their homes. They rent these homes. So we'll buy the homes from whoever they're renting from, and boom. Instant gentrification. Higher police presence. Diversity in the neighborhood. Boy, they make it sound good. Meanwhile, your ass got to go live in the projects. Oh, damn, they tore down the high-rise projects. You on the waiting list. Section 8. How? So many of our people are doing a reverse migration. It used to be that when you got money, you ran out into the suburbs. Like, yo, I made it. I'm out in the suburbs where they didn't want us. Now they like, yeah, you can come out here. If you listen to what Donald Trump say, he was saying, I don't know, they got to protect the sanctity of the suburbs. They had you niggas coming out there, you know what I mean? Out there ruining the suburbs, bringing your drugs and violence and color out there, loud music, cookouts, all crazy, playing spades and shit. They play spades out here. Anyway, okay. Robbie Mink says, most of us black women fought more than one way in life. We are still fighting, not physically, but mentally and emotionally. I agree. I think we all are, too. Jeff Hawkins says, lions are not the whisperers of the sheep. I'm just saying, negative judgment of others are for the weak-minded. Ooh. Ansel Jones says, woulda, shoulda, coulda means nothing to people that complete tasks. I hear that. Follow through. Perseverance, baby. I like it. Yes. Each one teach 100. Well, Jeffrey called me a lioness.
Okay, yeah.
All right, cool. Good looking out, y'all. Carol Chamber says, yes, Omar. Look at me, Mr. White Man. Look at me, Mr. White Man. Look, I'm one of you. I mean, I'm not one of you, but like I'm one of the different ones than them. Right? Come on, validate me. Can you stamp my hand so I can get in the club when I gotta go outside to get something from the car? Can you stamp my hand so I can get back in into the club? Please. Can I get a wristband? Can I get a wristband? Jeff Hawkins says, self-assured and confidence, we win. They threw us lemons, we made lemonade, risen above their shenanigans. Some of us, yes. Enough of us, no. No. Looking down on them from beneath them. And the only them I'm talking about is us against us. I ain't talking about us against them or them against us. You know what I mean? And this social climate that we have now, this cultural and social climate that we have right now, I don't see any other option except for us to look to us to try to solve the problems that exist among ourselves. There's nothing else left. We've never had any other options. But you're right. We've been making lemonade out of lemons. I'm not sure if it's been lemonade though. Something tells me we've been using some fake lemons in this shit. You know that lemon juice that come in the green bottle with the yellow top. Cost like $2-3 in the store. You know what I mean? Like, yo, how many lemons fit in that big bottle? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, ownership. Yes, my point exactly. It's happening all over. Yeah, we got it. Listen, man, don't sell your home. Do not sell your home. Get in the way. Make them have to eminent domain your ass and pay you whatever you want. You name your price. If you are a renter, you don't own anything. Literally. If you own your home now, do not sell that shit no matter what. Do not sell it. Gentrification dies with black ownership. It dies. But guess what happens if all black people own all of their shit? Then you have a real black neighborhood thriving. You can have black businesses and all of that. But that's where it all starts. Buy your home. Keep your home. Keep that shit. Keep it for your kids. Let your kids move in it or take it over to rent out whatever, you know, in your passing or your inability to be able to perform maintenance anymore. Jeffrey Hawkins says, many times we are our most worst. What you mean many times? All the damn time. Well, no, and we're not our worst enemy, but we be up there. You know who our main, our worst enemy is, but you can't tell many of us that. Like, no, Mr. Charlie, y'all right. Charlie, y'all right. He's all right. What's the matter with Charlie? He's all right. What's the matter with Charlie? He's all right. Rosewood, Black Wall Street, yeah. Central Park. Well, you see what happened with Rosewood and Black Wall Street, though. When you don't keep it all black. Well, let me put it this way. With Rosewood... With Rosewood and with Black Wall Street, we saw firsthand that it only takes one of them to fuck up all of us. Or should I say fuck it up for all of us. 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1 Well, you know, me and my man, we was talking about this shit tonight. I mean, look at the bus boycott. You know, the Montgomery bus boycott kicking off the civil rights era. They bankrupt the fucking bus company. It's the single successful boycott that black people did. We almost completed it. And I'm about to tell y'all why I don't consider it to be completed. But they had reached their objective. They bankrupt the fucking bus company. And they were actually the first Uber. They were transporting themselves to and from wherever they needed to go. They said, the hell with the bus. Fuck the bus. Whoever has a car, we gonna rock it. They were the first Uber. But what happened? At the end of the boycott, they let them off the hook. They let them off the hook. They said, all right, we're sorry. Uncle, we're sorry. Black people didn't realize their worth. Y'all had the power to build a business and to destroy a business. So it's sort of like the Negro Leagues. Then you know the Negro Leagues was making money, and the Negro Leagues were better. They were far, far more superior baseball players than the major leagues. Far superior. I mean, far. Like, you didn't have them pitchers. They didn't throw curveballs and all those different pitches. They didn't have that. Stealing bases. They didn't have that in the major league. They didn't have that. They didn't have speed, agility, skill, finesse, star quality. They didn't have it. Those major league baseball teams could not beat the Negro League players. And some of those Negro League teams were owned by black people. But what did we want? We wanted to be with the major leagues. To play with who? We considered, even though the major leagues couldn't hold a candle to the way that we played with even some of our players that weren't that good. They didn't have a Satchel Paige in Major League Baseball. Satchel Paige was over 40 years old when he came to the major leagues and still made an impact. He was over 40 years old, right? Satchel, in his young years, God, he was a pitcher and a batter. He was on fire. Like, there was nobody like Satchel Paige. And that Josh Gibson, a home run king, died at a young age. But yeah, Jeff Hawkins said, integration killed us. And that's what we wanted, integration. So the Montgomery, Alabama bus boycott was successful, but we didn't finish it. What we needed to do was say, well, we killed y'all, and we not, now y'all gonna ride our buses. That's what should have happened. Whatever money that they was making on the jobs that they were working at, they could have pooled their money together and bought the bus company out. That's what they could have done. Could have done that. Shoot, they were bankrupt. The fucking bus company was bankrupt. They would have sold for little or nothing. But we just wanted to make a point. Like, yeah, we could fuck you up. You make us mad. I wish they would have made them mad enough to be like, we're never getting on another bus. Any of us. We want to keep on riding among each other, with each other, paying each other. Black money circulating through. Oh, man. For us, by us, movement is needed. Been needed. It's long overdue. Beauty Akinashi Cherry says, I believe in separate. I don't have to integrate with my enemy to feel equal. How about this? Fuck being equal. I don't want to be equal. I want to be better. And you should want to be better than me. The equality might actually bring me down if I'm already good. Magic Johnson, Dr. J, Michael Jordan, Shaq. They didn't seem like they were struggling for equality. Larry Bird, Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain. They wasn't equal. They were elite. Equality would have made them. It would have lowered their stock. They need to be equal. They need to be better. Y'all need to get y'all weight up and try to be as good as me. Cause I ain't trying to be bad as y'all. No disrespect, but hey, we raising the bar. We ain't lowering the bar, and we ain't putting the bar in the middle. You want to do these pull-ups? You gonna have to jump up to the bar and do these pull-ups. And when you finish doing the pull-ups, you gonna have to drop down. Take one, teach one. Word up. T. Carrie Wright says, we just need to internalize that fact. Man, listen. We got work to do. We got work to do. Yeah. So, all right, yo, we about to do these birthday shout outs. You know what I mean? I'm about to do these birthday shout outs, but I appreciate y'all, man. My day was made today. It was. I had a good day today. I wasn't supposed to. According to my horoscope, it was supposed to be, it was supposed to be very meh. It don't feel meh to me. I feel very much better than meh. I feel like, not meh. We have some birthday shout outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious October 5th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They are number one out the box go-getter. Go-getter Yvette Williams. Happy birthday to you, Yvette. And also Jess Taylor turning 28 years old today, and Crystal Ann Andrian Brooks turning 38 years old today. She got the 38 inches. Yeah. And Unique KK Gale also turning 28 years old today. Oh, she was turning 28, not 38. Okay. And Danny Celestine turning 26 years old today. And Simone Sevright turning 42 years old today. And Angela King, happy birthday to you. And go get a Senorita Salina, please. A Senorita Salina, please. A Senorita Salina, please. Turning 49 years old today. Happy birthday, Feliz Cumpleaños. Señorita Salida, and also my man Christopher Biddle, DJ CL Smooth, Christopher Biddle, happy birthday to you. And last but not least, from right around the way, Pulaski Town is where we stay, turning 57 years old today, my man Octavius Rogers, happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious October 5th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up, but don't turn up too loud, just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you, rock out, rock on it, do the jam, rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing, and do your thing, y'all represent the queens and kings, and do your thing, y'all represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, listen, yes, we will be back on 7 o'clock tomorrow. We will be back 7 o'clock on time tomorrow. Listen, it was unpreventable today, but I'm glad that what happened did happen, because that was a good look. Make sure, before I even get into this last, this little outro, make sure that y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. And please make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. You know what I mean? Make this show our show and everybody's show. And we're going to show and prove as long as y'all show up. Okay. So, yeah. Looking down on people from beneath them. What for? What for? You know, you catch more bees with honey than you do with a fly swatter. And that means, that has such a deeper meaning than people give it credit for. You know what I mean? It's bigger than just being nice to people. When you forge relationships, bonds, and friendships with people, people will do things for you, open up opportunities, open up doors, create opportunities, extend resources to you to the point where you won't have to pay as much. You won't have to do as much. You won't have to work as hard, and you'll have more. It's always a better look. It's always better to have more friends than more enemies. So often we let our ego get in the way, and you know, we be on that, man, fuck them niggas. Yeah, I don't care about them. They don't care about me. You don't fuck with me, I don't fuck with you. Okay, I understand in some instances we can employ that mantra. But in our everyday living, when it comes down to it, we're going to do more having more people on our side than people against us. That's the simple math. Easy peasy. Easy peasy, baby. Easy peasy. So, you know, stop trying to make people look bad. Stop trying to dish. Because it's not really... Listen, if somebody is coming at your neck all hard, I understand that you're going to show them what time it is. Other than that, man, try to build with your brothers and sisters, because you never know what you might be building. You might be building the skyscraper of positivity and productivity and culturalism advancement. What's up, my brother Robert Sewell, my big bro? Robert Sewell is all up in the house. What's going on, my brother? Haven't seen you around these parts in a while, and it's a pleasure to see me some you all day, every day. Thanks for coming on through. Appreciate you, my man. And speaking of appreciation, man, peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death, resuscitate you, and love you right back to life. You know, appreciate you exponentially. We'll be right back at you tomorrow morning. Tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So get at me. Don't forget to hit that like button. And don't forget to subscribe to the channel. And don't forget to share that show. Do me that one solid. And I'll get back with y'all tomorrow. All right, Blog Talk, you get on up out of here. Get back with y'all.